Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Open Texas, 100%.
All right, that's the governor of Texas. He was called on the carpet by the President of the United States for Neanderthal thinking. It's not just Texas that has decided the masks aren't necessary anymore. It's up to you to decide to wear them or not. Mississippi and two other states have also jumped on board. So that's about 15 states where there is no requirement for the mask. Some stores are deciding that, no, we're not going to go in that direction. And they're requiring people to wear masks. Big box stores, I think, with local individual mom and pop shops, it's up to them too as well. The White House COVID advisor, Andy Slavitt, said it's counterintuitive. This is the most important time for people to make sure we run through the tape and finish that up. But now it's lifted, officially lifted as of the 10th. In Texas. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney. Hope wherever you are, things are picking up. And picking up meaning you're being lifted up from the weariness, I think, that so many people feel. Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves tweeted out on Tuesday that starting Wednesday, which just happened, all county mask mandates were lifted and businesses allowed to operate at full capacity. He noted that hospitalizations and case numbers have plummeted, and the vaccine is rapidly being distributed. So he said, we're getting out of the business of telling people what they can and cannot do. So Abbott, same thing, opening Texas 100%. As he said, his executive order takes effect March 10th. Once again, rescinding most of the earlier orders, including restrictions on business occupancy and the July 2nd statewide mask order. So that's it for those places and several others. And the idea is that the vaccine also is going to be available to everyone, supposedly by the end of May. By the end of May, anybody who wants a vaccine can get a vaccine. What's going to be tricky is, will there be requirements, like with the airlines, for showing the card that you got vaccinated before you can get on a flight? And there's some interesting debates going on about that, and would that really work and hold up? In the meantime, in Washington, D.C., it was all about responding and not responding. Not responding in the past and responding this time around. Remember, March 4th was a big day for QAnon, saying that the true president would be president once again on the 4th of March. So the Capitol Police warned that the militia group might be plotting to breach the Capitol. And what does that mean? Well, they didn't give a lot of information, but said they felt very sure that there were serious potential threats. In response, the House canceled a scheduled Thursday session. So they wrapped up the planned votes late on Wednesday. The Senate, considering Biden's $1.9 trillion pandemic relief bill, we're going to remain in session Thursday, but members and staff were encouraged to take precautions. And what are those precautions? Well, of course, park in underground garages. And once that's announced, everybody knows. So if there is going to be some kind of a siege, then they know you're parking underground. But I'm just saying. The Capitol Police and the FBI, of course, criticized for not acting on intelligence supplied by the FBI's Norfolk field office shortly before the January 6th attack on the Capitol. Because we saw it. We all have seen the pictures ramming through the bike rack barricades, the Capitol and D.C. police officers overwhelmed by the number of attackers. National Guard didn't respond until hours after everything had begun. In fact, it was 3 hours and 19 minutes before that happened, and that was part of what was going on the Hill and part of the testimony why the response was so slow. The FBI, by the way, said in a statement on Wednesday, our standard practice is not to comment on specific intelligence products. The FBI is constantly gathering and sharing intelligence with our law enforcement partners. We're always on alert for potential threats. D.C. police declined to discuss in detail the response to even the potential threat, the one that's happening now. Same thing. They just say they're going to increase the presence around the city. And, you know, again, this is was on the heels of testimony about what took so long, about the security member measures and why some of them weren't taken. And why did it take so long? And even though they were aware of what was going on, they, the members of the National Guard were not called out until 3 hours and 19 minutes after the siege had begun. And the barriers had been broken down, all that fencing, you know, everything else that had happened. So it's interesting because before Congress, one of the things that was talked about was a 21% increase to force the budget to pay for improved security, an emphasis on support and training for officers and protections for lawmakers. And you can bet that that's going to be beefed up because they're saying there was 93% increase in threats against lawmakers compared with the same period of 2020 in 2021. And that's, again, on the heels of what happened on January 6th. So to me, it is the nightmare that just keeps on continuing. And whether you get it from Chris Rodriguez, the director of D.C.'s Homeland Security and Emergency Agency, who told the D.C. Council on Wednesday afternoon that the mayor, Bowser, fired the chief, John Donnelly. They had been discussing what to expect after firing, after the firing. And they say they're aware of a threat on that. And given some of the security members and measures in the city and the awareness of all levels of government, state, local, and federal, they're staying enhanced. So how it looks like we're in Venezuela or somewhere else at the Capitol, no offense to Venezuelans, that's going to continue because of what happened on the 6th. The tracking what happened on the 6th and why the National Guard wasn't called in sooner is because they didn't like the optics of it, was one of the reasons that was given. So now you have the 4th, and what's happening in the 4th is, on the 4th, is warning lawmakers that this could be a really bad day, so we're doing what we can because of the plots that we're hearing about. So it's crazy to me because you have the Pentagon delaying 3 hours and sending troops on the 6th. Then you have this press for, oh, we're getting a lot of chatter that something could happen here on March 4th. So who do you think is going to be there to respond if there is something that goes down at the Capitol on Thursday? Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. What agency will go? All right, stay with us. You have thoughts about that and some other things as well in the mailbag. We're headed there next.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the gold stocks boom in the U.S. markets. More stimulus and higher inflation could potentially drive gold prices to record highs in 2021. And with gold exploration stocks poised to skyrocket in the coming months, you have an opportunity to position your trades with red-hot gold exploration stock opportunities. Text the word GOLD to 48542. Get front row access to market intelligence when you text the word GOLD to 48542 and to set your investment research strategy to hyper growth mode with your free subscription to the Gold Market Research Report. Text GOLD to 48542 and have this red hot intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the most promising gold exploration stocks, then text the word GOLD to 48542 and don't get left behind in 2021. Text GOLD to 48542.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Now let's talk about the mail. Can we talk about the mail, please, Mac? I'm dying to talk about the mail with you all day, okay?
Oh, so clever. It is like a cattle call. All right, thanks to all who filled up the mailbag. Appreciate you. Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. We got a whole bunch of polls going on, including mask on or mask off again, because now lots of states are saying it's a dealer's choice, whatever you decide you're going to do, because we're lifting the mandate, meaning Texas is doing that. Mississippi is a big one, too. And there are 15 states that don't have a mask requirement as we get closer to the finish line. So mask on, mask off. Wally, listening to us, I like that name, Wally in Portland, says, Kate, it's no surprise people got their asses kicked on January 6th because one hand doesn't know what the other hand is doing. Once again, why didn't that information be fed to the National Guard? Why weren't they called out sooner? Just a blunder of all blunders. And it's too bad because these unusual limits that they're talking about that were put on the National Guard in D.C. before the Capitol riot, according to a commander that I was listening to earlier in the day, they should have been given permission. I mean, how stupid is that? I don't care what your politics are. Nobody really wants to see our seat of liberty torn down. We look like weak, limped fools to the rest of the world. So shame on everyone involved in all of that. Indeed, I agree. Shame on everybody. The major you're talking about, Major General William Walker, testified that he didn't get permission to deploy troops for hours, 3 hours and 19 minutes, while everything was just getting smashed. It was like a smash and grab for all, free for all. And days before the riot, the Pentagon had removed General Walker's authority to quickly deploy his troops. He said he was unable to move troops even from one traffic stop to another without permission from Ryan McCarthy, the Army Secretary. So once he had approval for deployment, the Guard arrived at the Capitol minutes later at 5:20 and helped reestablish the security perimeter on the east side of the building. But he said he could have had 150 troops to the complex hours earlier. And think of the violence that unfolded over 5 hours. I mean, you know, we talk about the people who died, but did you know that there were 150 police officers that were injured? And some of them pretty seriously. So he was asked a lot of questions, Walker, and Wally obviously saw that too. And it just was a bungled mess. It was outrageous is what it was. I mean, just absolutely outrageous. I mean, you know, General Walker said, as the day was unfolding, he got a frantic call at 1:49 from Stephen Sun, the chief of the Capitol Police, about a half hour before the rioters breached the Capitol. And he said his voice was cracking with emotion, saying that there was a dire emergency at the Capitol. He requested immediate assistance of as many available National Guardsmen that he could muster. And he alerted the Army leaders, put the troops on buses ready to move, but it wasn't approved until hours later. And he didn't get the word that the Pentagon had authorized his request until 5:08. So that's the 3 hours and 19 minutes. All right, somebody else had something to say about that. This one is from Ems, listening to us somewhere in America. I like that, somewhere in America. Kate, I am a proud American still, but it is humiliating to relive what happened on January 6th. I have friends that live in other parts of the world, and they were stunned texting me during the whole thing as to where is the help? Why is this being allowed to happen? And that's what it looked like, and it certainly looked like we didn't know how to protect anybody. So future congressmen and women, I would say, should be armed, because I don't know that I would count on anyone having my back, whether I was a Republican or a Democrat, and that pains me to say it. Well, it's just what we've been echoing since what happened on January 6th. We had Bob Ney on, the former congressman from Ohio, who he was in charge of that. That was one of his areas when he was in Congress, and he talked about some of the things, what he could talk about, some of the things that they had in place, and never would you think that this would happen. All right, let's move on to this one. This one is from Brian, and Brian is listening to us in West Virginia. And just like so many other people, he said, Kate, thanks for the shout-outs. Yep, we're crushing this whole vaccine thing. I got my mama vaccinated. I feel very, very good about that. If you have anyone older in your life, for goodness sake, make sure that they get the vaccine, although I think it's getting a lot easier. It's interesting to watch what's going on with Cuomo in New York. He was so arrogant and so in your face about what was happening during COVID. Now he looks like this old dude trying to hit on super young girls and then saying, oh, I regret what happened. I apologize if it was misunderstood, and whatever other nonsense that he's saying. I am so surprised that he hasn't been asked to resign. So I guess to thwart it, he decided to hold a news conference himself. And to me, he looked like he was, you know, trying to cover up what was just the fumblings of a guy who has no idea how to handle women in this day and age that we live in. And so is he really fit to be the governor of New York? Yeah, this is bad all the way around for him. I mean, three different young women coming forward and having different stories in what they're saying. One was a woman at a wedding where her name was Anna Rutsch, and she said the governor touched her bare back, planted an unwanted kiss on her cheek, And he said kissing and hugging was his usual and customary way of greeting men and women, but he apologized if it made her uncomfortable, saying it wasn't his idea, you know, it wasn't his intention to do that. He said he never knew that he was making anyone feel uncomfortable. He never meant to offend anyone or hurt them or cause them pain. And he said it's been a very difficult situation for me as well as for other people. And he says he's not resigning, and that his attorneys told him he shouldn't have any kind of a press conference for that, but he decided that he wanted to talk to New York and say it. And he said, I want one of the people of New York, New Yorkers, to hear this directly from me. I don't know if he survives this or not. I mean, this is his first public appearance since the series of harassing allegations, and he's saying that he learned an important lesson, but, I mean, is it too little, too late? And, you know, all you need is one more straw to break the camel's back, I would say, but, and maybe that's too late, and he's saying he's not going to resign, so we'll see if he's ultimately forced out. Certainly there could be a recall movement to happen. I don't know if it will or not. All right, how about this, this one from Jake in Austin. Oh, Kate, thank goodness we are done with the snow and the no electricity. I think everyone in my world has texted me and asked me if I have electricity. Do I have water running? I mean, now, weeks later, we are so looking like idiots when it comes to electricity and Texas. And especially when you hear how close we were to losing it all. It's just absolutely shocking, and I think a lot of people don't even realize what provider they have when it comes to electricity, and so they were shocked when they got these huge bills. Yeah, I mean, there's still so much fallout from the energy crisis. I mean, millions of people in the dark, having all those problems for that long. So, of course, resignations, lawsuits, bankruptcy for one of the companies, and the CEO of Texas Power, the power grid, fired after the cold weather power outages, and I don't think that's a surprise, because, you know, you can't have that. Bill Magnus, the CEO of the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, is the second senior official to depart in one of the worst blackouts in U.S. history. The state's top utility regulator resigned. I mean, just goes on and on and on. Thanks for the emails. You can send me your thoughts 24/7. Kate at katedelaneyradio.com.
I can't believe you found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair? Or...
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD Family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The United States has rapidly increased its COVID vaccination efforts, setting new daily records for the number of shots administered last week. Nearly 2.9 million shots were given on Saturday alone. In the next few days, the CDC is expected to release guidance on activities that those who have been fully vaccinated can return to. Dr. Anthony Fauci says that vaccine supplies will begin to rapidly increase. The head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases tells CBS's Face the Nation that even as there are enough shots to vaccinate everyone, it will still take a large effort to administer them all.
As we get more doses, which are going to be dramatically increased as we get into April and May, and as the president has said, we will have, at by the end of May, enough vaccines to vaccinate everyone. We'll have to put a big push to get it into people's arms, but by that time, we're going to be doing much, much better.
This is USA Radio News. The House will take up the Senate's version of the $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill this week, passed by the Senate over the weekend by a party-line vote. House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer said the House will likely take a final vote on the package on Tuesday. But the amended bill is unlikely to pick up any support from Republicans, as many have criticized the spending in the measure. Congressman Byron Donalds calls the package a liberal wish list of spending. The Florida Republican tells Fox News that the package is a bailout for states that had bad lockdown policies.
It's stuff like that that's in this bill. State and local governments getting $350 billion. And they put this formula in the bill where if you're a blue state that has had terrible lockdown policies and your unemployment rates are through the roof, you're getting significantly more money than, say, a state like Florida that actually managed a pandemic while letting people get back to work. This is how they're rewarding bad behavior. This is how rewarding blue state governors. This is the true bailout that's happening. And it's one of the worst ways to spend money.
This is USA Radio News.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the EV stocks boom in the U.S. markets. The red-hot EV sector is on fire with no signs of slowing down. Here's just one example of what you can get with the information delivery system from Metals Industry Report. The electronic vehicles market could see a compounded annual growth rate of around 21.1% through 2026, turning into a multi-trillion dollar industry. Text tech to 48542 for more info on the EV market and to set your investment research strategy to hyper growth mode now with your free subscription to the Metals Industry Report. If you're interested in our hit list of the hottest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word tech to 48542. Text now to get your free subscription from Metals Industry Report. We deliver the data directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. Text the word tech to 48542. Text tech to 48542.
Welcome to the Man Cave. Thanks so much for checking in. Somebody please clean up those peanuts. You know when you go to those restaurants and you get the peanuts in the shell and you get to throw them on the ground? That reminds me of the Man Cave. It needs a little sprucing up. Some of you left some of your peanut shells behind. Anyway, if we're sitting back in the recliners and we're kicking around a couple of things, I think with the NFL, there'd be a lot of conversation about who's getting a franchise tag, who's leaving, who's on the trading block, so many players. I mean, this is the NFL these days. It's not like a couple of decades ago where it was all about you knew who the player was, they came in, they were drafted, and they stayed forever with the team. I mean, we saw the big trade of J.J. Watt leaving, and we saw J.J. Watt getting a big contract with the Cardinals, and he had been with, of course, Houston forever, and that was kind of a shocker, I think, to the people in Houston that he was leaving, but given his age and his desire to win a Super Bowl, I think it was a very, very smart, maybe hard move, but very smart move. How about Aaron Rodgers? Lots of conversation about Aaron Rodgers because, one, he's engaged to Shailene Woodley, and he dropped that out there casually when he was named MVP of the league. And who is she? If you've watched a lot of some popular television like Big Little Lies, she's one of the cast members of that, but she's also really a movie star. She starred in a lot of hit movies, and she's part of that younger generation. So there was some conversation about that around him, but also conversation about the fact that in April he's going to host Jeopardy. And then there's the big thing for Packer fans, and I know some of you cheeseheads are listening because you always ask me when I go to the mailbag, there's always probably once a month a Packer question. So the Packers have to create $15 million in space to be cap compliant, because, you know, it's all about the salary cap, and they've got to, so they got to figure out how they're going to do that. Are they going to restructure Aaron Rodgers' contract? Are they going to tag Aaron Jones, meaning with the franchise tag? How do they make that happen? And that's the same dilemma. Well, every team has to deal with it. That's the whole idea. You have X amount on the table, and you got to figure out how you're gonna make it work. How you're gonna rearrange, you know, the players and who wants to leave and who you don't want to lose. And this is the, I mean, again, this is the conversation. So now even the Jets GM is open to a Sam Darnold trade or offers, you know, not necessarily a trade, but offers, I guess, is what they're talking about, although now they're downplaying that. So that's the other part that happens. There's all this talk on the street, and then they kind of reel it back in. So the Jets once considered him untouchable, that he was just such an asset. Now they are listening to actual trade offers. And so the general manager, Joe Douglas, is very clever. He said, well, you know, I'll answer the call if it's made. That's what he said. He just confirmed the reports that were floating around about Darnold, and then there was this other report that, you know, maybe they would pursue the Texan star Deshaun Watson if he's available. Maybe that's a potential scenario for a trade. That's something that's kind of been floated out there for all of you Houston fans. It's going to look a lot different because probably Watson is going to be the quarterback, and you don't have J.J. Watt on that incredible defense anymore. So this is, again, what our conversation would be fueled by. And I think probably some of the draft, too, as we get closer to the draft. Here's one that kind of gets you. I can remember when we first started talking about Kellen Winslow. And not, you know, Kellen Winslow, not Kellen Winslow II, the father, and what an incredible player he was. Now you have Kellen Winslow II, who has been sentenced to 14 years in prison for multiple rapes and other sexual offenses against 5 women in Southern California, and including one who was homeless. He attacked her in 2018. And again, this is the 37-year-old son of Chargers Hall of Fame receiver Kellen Winslow. And he didn't comment before his sentence. He just said his lawyers had advised him not to speak. The San Diego County Superior Court judge said, you know, I can only describe this with two words, and that is sexual predator, because he went after women who were vulnerable because of their age or living situation. And, you know, the vulnerability, as the judge said, was no accident. The 14-year sentence was the maximum allowed under a plea deal, so that's exactly what he got. And, of course, his attorney was saying that he suffered from head trauma, and all those blows to the head while playing football suggested that's why he went off the rails, going from a star athlete to a convicted sexual predator. Wow. I mean, this is a guy, his father of two, his, of course, wife filed for divorce after all of this happened. But if you look at the beginning of his career, this is definitely not where you thought that Kellen Winslow, the second, would end up, hardly. Let's bounce over to the NBA. Coming up, we got the All-Star Game. And now when you talk about the All-Star Game, who's playing in the All-Star Game? And they're making it all into one big extravaganza. So the skills competitions, all the, you know, like dunking and all the cool things that you normally would be spread out over a couple of days if you're a hoop fan, will be stuffed into one day, which makes sense because of the pandemic, the limitations, all that kind of stuff. And because of that, some players are sitting out games, a game or two, before the All-Star Game. Sometimes it's the opposite, but Dallas Mavericks star Luka Doncic is going to miss his game against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, part of that is because back tightness, and he's still
supposed to play in Sunday's All-Star game in Atlanta, and he was selected as a starter for the second consecutive year. I mean, he's so popular with fans in the Dallas area, but I think around the country, people who are Hoop fans know him. He's averaging like 28 points plus and 8.4 rebounds and 9 assists, so he's dishing the ball around, and he's usually pretty healthy. He's only missed one game so far this season for the Mavericks, who are 17-16. They've won 8 of their last past 10 games prior to the Wednesday night game that he's not in. So they're above 500, and it's still, you know, it's at the halfway point, so it's still too early to tell what's going to happen with the Mavericks. It's all very strange to me because of COVID and managing COVID in a non-bubble. Of course, other sports have done it, and they're doing it, but it's just much different than, I think, last year, for sure. We have a RIP to report, somebody that passed away who was a big figure in the 80s, and it's former Baltimore Orioles manager Joe Altobelli. He died at 88 years old. He actually, you know, think of the 80s, he actually led the Orioles to a World Series title in 1983. So the Orioles just put out a statement saying they were saddened to learn of the passing of the former manager who led them to that championship in 83. And it was his first season as a manager. But you got to think about who were the players and whose careers did he contribute to. So Cal Ripken Jr., Jim Palmer, Eddie Murray, all of those names would be there. And he managed other teams as well. He managed the San Francisco Giants for a couple of years. He was the interim manager for the Cubbies only for one game. It still counts. It still is there. In 91, he had a couple of others too. He had a couple of others playing-wise. He played with the Indians and he played with the Twins. Not much. He played a handful of years, but he was certainly known to people in Baltimore. I mean, once you win, and nobody takes that away from you. So you kind of hang in history, I think, with the people in that area. So that was his claim to fame. And now it's all about too with getting ready for, of course, what's happening with spring training and all of that, and conversations about COVID, and lots of teams announcing someone has COVID because, you know, there they are in doing the spring thing. So, like, from Scottsdale, Arizona Diamondback outfielder Tim LoCastro has tested positive for COVID-19, and he's going to sit out and gets that 10-day thing. He'll be out for 10 days unless you get that false positive. That's what they do. And he's going to have a big role with the Diamondbacks. There's no question for people listening in Arizona or elsewhere who are baseball fans. I mean, he's got the right stuff, pardon the pun. Last year he hit almost 300, stole four bases in 33 games. And I think with the lineup that the Astros, boy, can I talk after a couple cups of coffee? No. I think with the Diamondbacks lineup, he'll really be a huge contributor. No question about that. And like I said, some are, you know, we're doing the spring training things. So we're not getting ready for it. We're getting ready for the season. And, you know, this is dealing with COVID and the protocols and heading into the year. It'll be interesting because now with the expectation that everyone will be vaccinated, yeah, we could talk about COVID in the man cave, going back to live sporting events. Now that the expectation of being vaccinated by May or herd immunity, you know, by May, June, whatever, maybe beyond that, baseball could have a big bounce back, at least midsummer, maybe even before that. And that's what teams are trying to figure out. What does the beginning of the season look like versus what does it look like deeper into the season? How many tickets and the availability and everything wrapped into that? Thanks so much for listening to all this in the man cave. Bring your broom next time so you can sweep up the peanuts. Hang with us. We're going to Author's Corner next. We'll be right back. coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Power grid failures and natural disasters, they happen too often now. Will financial collapse be next? What kind of emergency plan do you have for the next sudden food shortage? If you don't, it's time to prepare. At MyPatriotSupply.com, we make it easy for you. Our emergency food storage kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They ship fast and discreetly to your door. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Attention radio listeners, if you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-the-grid electricity, pay close attention. Here's why. A limited number of solar backup generators are now back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running silently in your own home. So whether it's dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. And the best news, this week only, listeners purchasing a solar generator will receive hundreds of dollars in free off-the-grid bonuses. So go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Again, supplies are extremely limited, so go to mysolarbackup.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
The Tracian Witch and the Imperial Admiral, an Ikebe story, is one that will captivate you because there's lessons in this and history wrapped in this that I think really, really pulls you in. It's author John Carden is with us now. John, thanks for coming on.
Yes, thank you.
So explain why you wrote this book. What drew you to this?
Oh, I just... Several decades ago, I couldn't find anything to read in science fiction-wise, and so I thought I could do better than that. So on my TRS-80, I just started writing, and when I get an idea, I'll put it down on paper and then come back to it, and it takes a life of its own. And when I started this one, I wanted to make a story that would be exciting, and when you're reading it, you wouldn't know what was going to happen and what did happen. And one of them that has a ending that, you know, doesn't leave a bad taste in your mouth like some of them do.
I like that. So, you know, it takes a certain kind of person to say, you know what, I don't like what's out there. I'm going to just write something myself, and I'm going to put some ideas I have down, and I'm gonna create this book. When you first started doing it, and you have 6 or 7 published books, so now it's different because lots of people that know you understand that you write and that you have that gift, and you were willing to attack something that you saw that was lacking out there. But when you first did the very first book, what was the reaction to the people around you?
They liked it. My very first book was 3 Time winners, and one of them was about Samson Blair, the Time Marshal, and I think that's my favorite one so far, about an U.S. Marshal that suddenly transformed to modern-day Los Angeles. So it just sort of takes a life of its own.
So when you come up with that, like you came up with the very first one was this Time Marshal, which I'm fascinated by time. And then you work your way all the way up to the Tretian Witch and the Imperial Admiral and Ikebe's story. When you come up with the plots and you think of what somebody would want, how do you do that? How do you come up with these different plots?
Well, just some of the things I see around me gives me an idea for it, and it just suddenly pops into my head, and I'll go write it down. I have maybe about over 100 different stories on my computer that I have come up with over the years, and every now and then I'll look at it and come back in it, and if it goes off, you know, I'll add to it. If it doesn't, well, I'll come back a little bit later on, maybe a year or two, and like I say, it takes a life of its own.
So in this particular book, tell us about the witch and tell us about the Imperial Admiral.
Well, the Tretian Witch on this one is named Wendy. She's a descendant of Clarinardo, the Tretian Witch, in another one of my novels. And she meets the Admiral when he's a colonel and and he's commanding a fleet of ships, and she tries to control him, and she can't do it. And so then that makes her want to do it more. So ultimately they fall in love, and he goes through the Valley of Death, and she goes in after him. So it you never know what's going to happen when you read what they're doing.
Yeah, we don't want to give away the story, but it, right in the beginning, it really pulls you in and then takes you through an interesting ride. And, of course, you have that down. It comes out on the other side. And I want to tell everybody, I think your background plays into this because you and I talked. We're both fans of this. Of course, I did not teach it, and I don't know it as well as you do, but you were a history teacher for 40 years. Tell me about that.
Oh, I started with American history, then world history, world geography, algebra, consumer math, geometry, and PE for a little while. And so each one of these different disciplines gave me a source of information to put in my books.
Ah, so, you know, maybe students, things that you learned along the way, some of the things perhaps in administration. I mean, really anything in your life, it sounds like, if you have 100 stories, could have given you that light bulb moment for an idea, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So you've got this book, and when people read it, what do you hope they take away from reading this book?
Well, one of the things I like to think is that when rough times come in your life, you don't quit, you don't give up, you just keep on going. I have a little saying in the book that quotes Maverick, the old West gambler. He says, when things get real tough, you shove everything to the middle of the table and you let it ride. You don't give up.
I like that hashtag, let it ride. So as I said, you've got 6 or 7 published books, and you told us you have 100 stories. So what themes are you exploring down the road that we can expect from John Carden?
Oh, some more Imperial Navy stories, and maybe some more Tretian Witch stories, and things that you'd like to read. When I write something, there's no Anglo-Saxon expletives, and there's nothing trashy in it. It's just a good story. Gives you something to read when you're fixing to go to sleep or whatever.
So when you write your books, I mean, you have that in mind, like, hey, this is going to be a different kind of book that anybody could read, because it could be a teenager, it could be someone older, just anybody can pick this book up because they're not going to be shocked by all the language that I throw into it or whatever. You've never have set out to do any of that.
Correct. Yes,
yeah.
Ma'am.
Yeah, good for you. So, you know, in the book and in a lot of your books, as you talked about starting with the time, and in this book, you talk about, you know, the Tretian Witch, which you look at planets and empires, and that is such a popular theme now. And as a history teacher, a former history teacher, what do you think about space exploration now? And I'm curious. And then even the fact that we've got, you know, a rover on Mars.
Yeah, and probably in maybe 5 or 10 years, we'll put a man on Mars. And we'll have to carry a lot of supplies to Mars so they can, you know, especially oxygen. And I think there's a movie, The Martian, that illustrates that we'll never cease going outwards. You know, we'll, after Mars, maybe we'll go to Pluto, and beyond that, maybe have a faster-than-life ship to use, so it never quits. We'll never quit.
Boy, that's true. I don't think we'll ever quit either, John. And we started off talking about time. I mentioned the books you have, The Tretian Witch and The Imperial Admiral and Ichabod Story, and what we can expect from the future, that you've got these stories that are brewing, that you've written them down, and then talking about the planets and all that sort of stuff. Did you ever think when you wrote the first book that it would lead to all your mind coming up with all these different stories and coming up with all these different books?
No, I never did. I did it on a TRS-80 computer, and it was real slow, but now my latest one's faster, so it allows me to, when I get an idea, just plop it down.
So you plop the idea down, and you have this this thing in your mind. How long does it take you typically to write one of your books?
Oh, maybe a week or two if I stay completely on it. But most of the time I'll just, you know, maybe one day on it and then go to another one and then go to another one and just whatever I come up with.
Yeah, and I want everybody to know, these aren't short books, by the way. So if you look at this book that we're talking about, how many pages is it? In like 224 pages?
Yes, they're about 300 pages plus in a regular page length.
Wow. All right, so you have the ideas. I think you're a force to be reckoned with. That's for sure, John. We'll look for whatever your future book comes out to be and tell everybody they can get any of your books, including this one. You can get The Tretian Witch and The Imperial Admiral and Ichabod Story on Amazon. Is there any other place that people can find you?
Just online, just iCope John R. Carden, and a list of my books will come up.
All right, excellent. We'll find you there. John, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show and this interview. Pick up The Tretian Witch and The Imperial Admiral and Ichabod Story. Ooh, there's something about witches. And this book, like I mentioned to John when we first started, really, really pulls you in and takes you through some interesting twists and turns. Thanks for listening, everyone. This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.